Hello. Welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from the book of Acts, this time in chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, the account of Philip and the Ethiopian. We read, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." This is the word of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At first glance, these two men could not have been more different, right? One was an unnamed Ethiopian eunuch. The other, Philip, was a Jewish man who grew up in a culture in which Jewish men literally thanked God in their prayers that they were not born a slave, a woman, or a Gentile. This Ethiopian eunuch managed the finances for the whole country. Philip, until quite recently, waited on tables for Jewish widows. This eunuch grew up in a land far removed from Jerusalem. Philip grew up with full access to worship in the temple at Jerusalem. This eunuch had only seen the temple once. Philip was well accustomed with it. At first glance, these two could not have been more different, but over the course of our text, their differences quickly fade away. What they would soon share in common would create an everlasting bond, would change their lives forever. Now, what is it that they share in common? Well, it's really four things. The first thing is right there at the beginning of our text. They share a common physical location. Of course, as Luke tells us, how that happened was a bit strange. An angel of the Lord came to Philip and told him, "Go south to the road, that desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now, God's messenger here is quite specific, telling Philip to take the road less traveled. Now, Gaza used to be an important Philistine city, a stronghold, but Alexander the Great destroyed it. Now, nobody who knew where they were going traveled that way anymore. But Philip journeyed from Samaria, which was north of Jerusalem, down through Jerusalem, onto the road that went to Gaza. And as he was making his way there, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. And the Spirit told him one more thing. "Hey, go to that chariot and keep up." Then Philip quickly discovered that they had more than just their physical location in common. They also shared a common language, which was probably Greek. We know that because as Philip was running alongside the chariot, he heard and understood what this man was reading. He even recognized its source as being from the book of Isaiah. And then they discovered that they shared a third thing in common, a common frustration with Jerusalem. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we have to back up a bit. In Acts chapter 6, the apostles were in the city of Jerusalem and the church was growing, but the apostles were getting overwhelmed. There were daily needs from the Hebraic widows and the Gentile widows. And so the apostles found themselves waiting on tables more than they were proclaiming the word of God. So they decided to appoint 7 men to be deacons for the church to help with the daily distribution of food. And Philip was one of them. That's why I mentioned before that he waited on tables for widows. Another one of those deacons was a man by the name of Stephen. Stephen was a man who was full of God's grace and his power. He did miraculous wonders and signs, and like was so often the case, was not appreciated by the Jewish leadership. In fact, they came and tried to argue with Stephen, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, continued to refute them with powerful words, and they grew jealous and angry, and they accused him of blasphemy. And they arrested Stephen, and they brought him before the Sanhedrin, and this time it didn't go as well for one of God's people as it had earlier. This time, he was convicted, ultimately stoned to death. And Luke tells us in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, that on that day of Stephen's stoning, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and everyone except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And of course, that included a man like Philip. Luke goes on to tell us that Philip specifically went to Samaria, and while he was there, he continued to do what Christians do. He witnessed his faith. While he was there as a servant of the Most High God, he did miracles, and that created quite a following. In fact, while he was in Samaria, he even converted a famous sorcerer named Simon. Now, everybody in the city was overjoyed to have Philip there, and Philip surely was content to stay. He was enjoying a successful ministry. That is, until the Lord came to him and said, "I've got new plans. I want you to leave Samaria, I want you to head for Jerusalem, and then take the road less traveled." Now, going back down through Jerusalem must have been painful and frustrating for Philip, knowing that he was forced to leave because of intense persecution. But Philip followed the Lord's plan. And on that desert road, he met another frustrated individual, this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, at first glance, we see that this Ethiopian eunuch was frustrated because as he was reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, he didn't understand what he was reading, but his frustrations more likely were much deeper. He must have been frustrated with his time in Jerusalem, too. You see, as an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, the queen of the Ethiopians, we might compare his role to a modern-day CFO of a country. Now, a man like this was no doubt used to being respected and welcomed. He was used to having access. But that had come at a tremendous personal cost. You see, if this man were like most eunuchs, at a young age, he made a choice about his future life. He chose to have his reproductive organs surgically removed, if you can call it that in that day and age, so that he could continue to climb the royal ranks. He had no promise that he would serve as the CFO at one day, but he did. Now, why would they do this? Well, in this day and age, it was common practice among those who served alongside royalty. See, many, many leaders of countries had decided that a man who could not have a family was, in many ways, much more trustworthy when it came to handling important and sensitive matters. So this man chose tremendous physical pain so that he might receive tremendous honor, respect, and wealth, really a kind of worldly glory. Now, it all came with a cost, but he made a choice, and now he had to live with it. Luke goes on to tell us that this man also made another choice. He traveled down to Jerusalem, or up to Jerusalem, to worship at the temple. Now, this was a long trip. We're not sure exactly how far it is, but we know that Ethiopia was in the area that we presently call Nubia. And so depending on where he started from, depending on the route that he took, this was a journey of more than 1,000 miles, maybe even up to 2,000 miles. Now, a journey like that, even in a royal chariot, would have taken weeks, if not months. But this man was determined. He wanted to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship the Lord. Now, when he arrived, we can hardly imagine that Jerusalem met his expectations. We can hardly believe that he was impressed as he saw the Sadducees acting like pompous royalty instead of humble servants of the Most High God. But his frustrations would have come to a head at the temple, the very place that he was looking forward to the most, because there he would have been denied access, not because he was black, but because of that choice that he had made. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, it says that no one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. Do you see what that means? This man went all that way, traveled that long distance, potentially forfeiting his line of work, only to be turned away when he arrived. See, both of these men must have been frustrated by what was going on in Jerusalem. The eunuch had his dreams dashed. Philip had his taken away. Can you relate to that? Maybe it was the dreams that you had for a family that never came true. Maybe you did have kids, you were blessed, but because of work, you missed out on making so many of those memories. Maybe you had dreams about what you would be and do or where you might live, but things didn't work out the way that you had hoped. Maybe even today, your life feels a lot like Philip's first steps on that desert road. You wonder why you're here right now. You wonder what you're supposed to be doing. You wonder why God has seemingly taken you away from all the good things, all the good people that you once loved to be around. Or maybe, like the eunuch, you're struggling with something physical. Perhaps every day you deal with weakness or sickness. There are things that you can't do that you'd like to. Now, maybe it's because you made a choice, but more than likely you didn't. Regardless, you feel stuck with this. Do you know frustration like these men? See, frustration is a soft struggle of faith. And what I mean by that is it doesn't seem like intense spiritual warfare, but it is. It's very important to God. See, this Ethiopian was frustrated because he knew he wasn't good enough. Philip was frustrated because he wasn't where he wanted to be. We all struggle with both of those feelings, don't we? Because the truth is, just like this eunuch, we are not good enough by nature. We too have made choices that prevent us from dwelling in the presence of the Most High God. Now, those sins may be hidden to everyone around us, but they're still there. Things like jealousy and greed, lust and anger, pride and despair. We can easily conceal these from view from nearly everyone around us, but God still sees them. He still knows. Or maybe your struggle is more like Philip's. Your sin maybe sounds a lot more pious than most. Because you keep saying, hey, Lord, I want to do something more for you. I want to do something more important. I want to serve the way that I used to. Let me ask you a simple but blunt question. Do you know better than God? Are your ways higher than his ways? Do you not understand that he guides all of history, including your days? Don't you know that he promises he is working out all things for your good? Don't you remember that he has prepared good works in advance for you to do them? Do you really trust your own mind more than God? Do you think he is unaware of the length of your days? See, there are many reasons that you and I may be frustrated. We may be confronted with the fact that we're not going to be good enough. We may be frustrated by the fact that we're not doing the things that we might like. God rebukes us of our sin. But here in this text, there is good news even for frustrated folks, because it was no accident that this eunuch was reading from Isaiah. It was no accident that he was reading the words that Luke records. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Now, as the eunuch read this, he didn't know who Isaiah was talking about, but Philip did, and Philip told him the good news about Jesus. He told him how Jesus had made all the right choices and experienced all the wrong consequences. Jesus had been humiliated, not just denied access to the temple, but deprived of justice. The crushing weight of the guilt of our sins was laid upon him. He was cut off from the land of the living, stripped and crucified outside Jerusalem. Jesus knew what it was like not to have any descendants because he made a choice. See, his entire life was a choice that he made to reject sin and temptation, a choice to be the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, a choice to live perfectly in our place. Jesus chose even to die. But he died so that we might have life and a future. Because God's own Son died for us, we are now acceptable to God. Jesus has gifted us the riches of his righteousness so that we can approach God with full confidence. This is tremendous good news, but God is not done showering gifts on his people. See, as the eunuch and Philip continue on the road, God gives them something else wonderful. On this desert road, suddenly they come upon some water. And the eunuch asks a simple question, is there anything that could prevent me from being baptized at this moment? And Philip sees how the Lord has led them. He baptizes this man, and then God does something miraculous and gracious. He washes away all the sins of this man. He makes this eunuch whole and acceptable and welcomes him into God's own eternal family. And then the Spirit of God whisked Philip away, not back to Samaria, but this time to Azotus. And Philip continued to preach along the Mediterranean coastline all the way up to Caesarea. You'd think this would be entirely deflating to this eunuch, but it wasn't. Because he had not just connected with a stranger, he had connected with his Savior, so he went on his way rejoicing. He knew that he traveled all this way to Jerusalem looking for God, but God found him on a desert road on the way to Gaza, in the words of Isaiah, through the work of Philip. Jesus had found and saved this Ethiopian eunuch. So he went on his way rejoicing. As he went on his way rejoicing, he still had a long way to go, and I'm sure that he kept reading. I can only imagine how he felt when he read these words from Isaiah chapter 56. This is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and all who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This is stunning good news. Though we can never be good enough, God is gracious enough. Gracious enough to save us all. Good enough to go to great lengths to find lost sinners. This is exactly what Jesus meant when he talked about the good shepherd leaving the 99 behind to find the one who was lost. Do you not understand that God went to no less lengths in guiding people and events when he brought you to faith? But he's not done with you. He continues to guide you to witness your faith to others so that they may hear the good news of Jesus Christ. As we make our dwelling in a different desert, the Sonoran Desert, no doubt you will run into all kinds of folks who don't know, who don't understand God's will and his ways. Do what Philip did. Point them to Jesus. Show them how he suffered for all their sins and their guilt, and assure them that in Christ, God makes anyone good enough. Amen.